He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It's the Thursday edition of the Best Stocks Now show on this August the 17th. And we've got a split market, and it's going kind of the way the second half of the year has gone so far, with the Dow up and the NASDAQ down. The Dow is up 85 points right now, 34,850. Pretty good earnings from Walmart. The headline is Walmart earnings smash expectations. That's always a good word to use if you own the stock, which we don't. But anyways, the NASDAQ is down 23. 13,451. The S&P kind of in the middle there. It's up 6 to 4,410. The small caps, which have been under a lot of pressure, there is a definite opposite reaction to small cap stocks and interest rates. As interest rates go up, there's an inverse relationship. The small caps probably get hurt the most, and the high PE stocks. Crude oil is up 90 cents to $80.28, which has had like 8 days in a row. That hasn't happened in quite some time. It's down 80 cents today, 19.27. Silver is up 25 cents to 22.78. The 10-year just keeps rising, which is really weird. I mean, we're up at almost 4.3 today. We're at 4.29, and this has brought a halt to the NASDAQ stocks for now. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, and I want to get his opinion first, because it seems like the elephant in the room right now is the 10-year is at almost 4.30% right now. Why?
Yeah, and I was looking back. I mean, it's I was looking at, you know, the in terms of high. I mean, it's the highest, at least my chart's going back a year, and it's the highest it's been.
Yeah.
So yeah, being at 4.3. Yeah, you know, I think it's, you know, I think it's a combination of things. You know, number one, also saw where global yield levels are their highest since 2008. So if you just look at in terms of, you know, the average interest rate, right, interest rate yield on country debt around the globe, it's the highest it's been since 2008. And so, you know, part of this is issuance, because we've got to float those, you know, we've got to sell those bonds to get the cash back in the Treasury Department. And you also have, you know, China is a you know, big holder of notes. As they have a slowdown, they don't have as much cash to put to work to purchase some of these purchase our debt at the same time. So it's a combination of things. Of course, though, we've got the jobless claims today, and that came in basically right as expected. So that's not really part of the move. So it's just pretty interesting in terms of how high of the level is.
Yeah, I mean, it's really strange to see the 10-year.
Yeah,
this. Now, you could go back to October of last year.
Yeah, no, that's
great. You could go back to October of.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when it was last at this level, and that was, you know, before we knew at that time the Fed was going. I guess we gave them too much credit, thinking that they would be totally done in spring, which is what I thought. Of course, they had one more quarter point rate hike since then. But the problem is they won't shut up about it. They keep continuing to threaten more rate hikes. And, you know, this flies in the face. The Atlanta Fed came out with their inflation forecast. Did you see that for the next 12 months? 2.5%.
Yeah,
now, isn't that their target
right.
price for the Fed? They're happy with that. We'll leave rates alone. And why did the Atlanta Fed is way off, or the Federal Open Market Committee is way off? They're all one and the same, aren't they? Isn't the Atlanta Fed part of the Federal Open Market Committee?
But anyways, a piece of that puzzle, right?
Yeah, there it is. I mean, this yield thing is not good with the market and global yields. It tells me two things. The market, the bond market, is saying that inflation has not gone away, number one. And number two, we're spending too much. There's too much debt in the world. And pretty soon, there's not going to be any demand for that debt. You're going to go to sell your debt, and some people are going to say, who wants to buy more debt? We're all loaded up to the eyeballs in debt right now. So anyways, that's kind of the elephant in the room. And it has brought this bout of rising rates, which you know, the interest rates broke out at about the halfway point of the year, right when the quarter ended, and that's when tech came to a standstill. And what's been happening ever since? Interest rates have been going up, and tech has completely come to a screeching halt.
Yeah, we're up 50.
So obviously,
up 50 basis points from just the end of June to where we are now on 10-year in terms of being at 4.3.
That's a lot, and the Fed has only hiked once.
Yeah, well,
so there's more to it, and
right, and they don't control that rate, right? I mean, they control the short term of the curve,
the market,
right? So.
So, anyways, that's kind of a big. Noose around the neck of the small caps and the risk on especially the NASDAQ type stocks. And yesterday it was the Fed minutes that really sent the market into kind of a tailspin again. We were hoping, you know, to hear, we think we're done for now, no more rate hike. But let me just tell you, I think you've learned, if you didn't know this before, the impact that the Fed has on the market, the impact that interest rates have on the stock market. Okay, all right, so Treasury yields are a problem for now. Now, if there's a silver lining, if you go back to October, November, this is where the rates peaked. Okay, so we call that resistance. That is the ceiling. And, you know, if we don't back off of that ceiling, then we're going to break out and go even higher, which would not be good. So that's what we're up against here in the market right now. Okay, we have some earnings coming in. We'll get to those. Like we said, Walmart had a smash their estimates. Tomorrow we're going to get Deere, Palo Alto Networks, Estee Lauder, Xpeng, a Chinese electric vehicle company. And, of course, yesterday in those Fed minutes, it said, while all voting members voted to raise the policy, so it was a unanimous decision at the end of the day by 25 points, a couple of Fed members favored keeping rates unchanged. So, anyways, I would think that with the slowdown in China, that's got to be weighing on the Fed a lot. I still don't think there's going to be any more rate hikes this year. So we'll see. Initial jobless claims fall slightly more than expected in the past week. They've dropped to 239,000. That's one of the sticky areas of the inflation equation, labor cost. We've also had gasoline and oil prices moving up. They're sitting right at 80. Right now, Atlanta Fed's business inflation expectation eased to 2.5%. Okay, so that's what they expect over the next 12 months. Now, another pretty hot report came out of the Philly area. The Philly Fed business outlook, plus 12 in August. They were expecting minus 10.
It sounded like you were talking about a
big beat there.
I thought you were talking about a horse race for a second.
Boy, I'll say the Philly Fed. Yeah, the Phillies and the Colts, they play each other somewhere along the way. But anyway, right now the Phillies are winning, and they're also in a wild card spot right now. Okay, the Dutch economy slips into a technical recession. Now, if you go back and remember, you know, the Dutch economy, that's where they cracked down on the farmers and started closing down farms. And they rose up, man. The people rose up. The farmers rose up. And they eventually.
It's about a year ago, I think.
Yeah, they backed off of all of that. But the Dutch has had to. Now, this is the first country in the world, other than China. I mean, you got to believe China's in a recession right now. And, of course, Russia's in a recession. But this is the first European country that I can think of. The UK came close. Maybe they had a technical recession.
Yeah, they were projecting. I think they were projecting one, and I don't think it ended up materializing, or at least not yet.
And the Dutch, you know, that's the Netherlands is a very big driver in the economy. They have some big semiconductor. They produce a lot of food. Technical recession in the Netherlands. Okay, we'll be right back with a lot of individual stocks in the news today. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the first individual company we'll talk about is Warner Brothers, WBD. Let's see how it's been doing here recently. I don't think it's been doing that good, but they do have a big hit. That's a sideways stock. They do have a big hit on their hands. Barbie is now Warner Brothers Discovery, which, remember, the Discovery Channel, highest ever grossing domestic movie, topping $537 million. Now, that's domestic take. The global take, $1.2 billion at the global box office since its release last week. Now, I've heard it's a terrible movie. I haven't heard anybody say it's a good movie, but how many people had Barbies, I guess, you know, how many over the years? It's a pretty big brand over, it's kind of a little bit of Americana, and it's a big winner at the box office. Okay, we got another upgrade. This is the third one this week on NVIDIA. Okay, they should have been upgrading it several months ago, but hey, you know, I guess it's better late than never. NVIDIA gets an upgrade by Citigroup today, known as one of the sleepiest Wall Street firms around. The market, the NVIDIA is up 0.5% today. You know what? That's going to be a highly watched earnings report next week. 8:23, 6 days from now, next Wednesday.
Yeah, it's at the end of the period, too, so everyone's eyeballs are on it.
Yes. Okay, so Citigroup puts out a $520 price target on NVIDIA. They said their sales for the coming quarter, get this, could rise 90% year over year. That's incredible. And 12% sequentially. That's just unbelievable type numbers compared to the 87 and the 12 that Wall Street is expecting. A consensus of analysts estimates that NVIDIA will earn $2.08 per share on $11 billion in revenue. Okay, I'm going to write that down in my day timer here for next Wednesday. That's, what is that, August the 23rd. NVIDIA, NVDA, $11.06 billion in sales, $2.08 in earnings. I think they're going to beat their numbers myself because it was a pretty. The only thing that's happened since then, but actually it caused Saudi Arabia to go in and make some huge buys, was the threat.
Mm-hmm.
The threat of, you know,
curbing
it hard
sales
to get those NVIDIA chips,
yeah,
especially with countries that aren't friendly with the U.S. Adobe gains as Bank of America upgrades and touts their AI prowess. Adobe, you know, it's up 79 cents. See, here's the problem. you can have good news with the tech stocks right now, but then they look over at the interest rates at 4.30.
And the P.E. ratio.
And that P.E. ratio and that multiple just kind of shivers and says, no, I don't think we can go any higher because our P.E. is already extended. What we need to happen to get the tech going again is for interest rates to start falling. You would need some dovish talk from the Fed, which we have not been able to get. Or you'd need the market to say, and I think this is the more likely scenario, that the bond market's overbought here and start selling it and taking some profits here, right, on the gains that they've made. Anyways, it just seems crazy. Actually, I'm upside down on that. We need people to start buying bond market.
Yeah, and we, you know,
we've oversold, right?
And we found sent. I guess in the silver lining on this, at least on the bond side, is found a couple more potential buys on the bond side for
in the high fives.
Yeah, 5.75 range.
Right.
So and you know, one of them's a solid credit as well. So it's a very opportunity out there.
Yeah, if you look at the chart of AGG, which is the U.S. aggregate bond, that's a lousy chart. And hopefully it's finding support here. It's undercutting the support a little bit here. The bond market, AGG's down about 5% since the beginning of the year. It started the year at $100, and now it's at $95.
And that's the importance of those individual bonds, right, that we talked about versus an index.
They may go up and down with interest rates, but if you're going to hold them until they come due, that doesn't really matter to you. Okay, so Adobe gets a price target of $630. It's currently trading at $514, so that's a huge upgrade. Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, the one that's upgrading Adobe. Now, here's my problem with Adobe. We own it in our ultra growth portfolio. I just updated my valuation yesterday on Adobe. I have 55% upside potential over the next 3 to 5 years, 55%, which is way below average. You want 75 or 80%. So it has a valuation problem over the next 3 to 5 years. Apple rises as Citigroup sees a catalyst in the i15 launch. Well, I don't know. Are they going to have a Barbie
launch
app in there?
It's a launch, right? I mean, I guess it's supposed to get some traction, right?
And what is the market telling Citigroup today? Nah, you know, Apple is breaking its support level here. It's at 174.71 now, after being at 198, so you're down $24 on Apple since their earnings report, which is about a 5% drop on the stock. I updated my valuation on Apple yesterday, 50.3%. And we did recently trim our holding in Apple. We cut it back to a smaller size. I'm just having a hard time finding catalyst. Citigroup thinks they have one. It's the iPhone 15. So far, I haven't seen anything yet that has made me want to run out and reserve an iPhone 15. Now, here's an interesting one, and I don't understand how this would really work, but Ocean Power, OPTT. We talk about these big freighters and cruise ships and whatnot. Has announced a pivotal achievement in the field of autonomous maritime technology. They revealed the successful demonstration of the Wave Adaptive Modular Vessel, the WAMV, attaching itself remotely to a buoy and establishing a connection that will enable charging. Go figure. I mean, how many buoys? What does that get you to the next buoy, I guess, and then the next buoy?
Yeah.
I don't know. Here's the reaction of the stock. Down.
And what happens if I don't make it to the next buoy?
I think there's a lot of skepticism.
Especially if a storm could come up, yeah.
Okay, and last but not least, a company that needs a catalyst is Tesla. Well, Texas yesterday passed a bill that you got to use textless technology if you want to get money from the state. So more and more, the Tesla charging technology is being adopted to the world standard. Okay, we'll be right back with more individual companies in the news today. This is the Best Stocks Now show. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. And the NASDAQ continues to slide. I'm seeing a lot of stocks, not good charts. They're breaking down here a little bit. The 10-year is hitting 4.31 right now. 4.31. And that is hitting the tech sector the hardest. The small caps are flat today, but it's the NASDAQ down another 0.5% today. Just can't quite get any kind of a catalyst. Airbnb cracks down further on rule-breaking guest. Well, you know what? I would, you know, there's areas around here where there's a lot of, I'm sure Isle of Palms, Barry's got a lot of air.
I'm sure there's a lot of
wild
horror
parties.
Stories and pretty much anything is fair game. So and I'm sure if they weren't cracking down, I figured they would have been be cracking down already. I guess they're just, I don't know if it's some kind of review thing where if, you know, like on an Uber or something, if you're, you know, 3 stars or, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe hopefully they can get to your pocket somehow if you're destroying the home, right?
Well, you know how it is. I mean, other people don't treat, you know, other people's property with the same respect they treat theirs. And you're on a party, it's just like, yeah, who cares? And so they want people that, you know, they expect them to treat hosts and homes with respect. The ground rules cover issues like cleanliness, noise, damage. Thinking of Joe Walsh here, I don't know. You remember he used to destroy hotel rooms and got his jollies doing that. I never could understand that. Smoking, approved guest.
I was thinking of Tanya Tucker and I forget who she ran with back then, but they
might have
up.
Been Glenn Campbell.
It was Glenn Campbell. Yeah, they tore up hotel rooms.
Oh, they used to fight those two.
I drove her Mercedes that she got for her 16th birthday one time.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, she wasn't there. It was just, it needed to be moved out of a place that works on cars like that, so they didn't have any more capacity. So
was there like
I could drive a stick shift, so I got tasked for the job, basically.
Yeah. So. Well, here's a buyback, a share repurchase. This is always good. Yesterday it was who was it yesterday? I can't remember. Someone was doing a nice buyback. That's always good for the stock. Today it's Wingstop, and you know Wing ought to be doing better. It's just kind of stuck in neutral right now, but it is getting a nice pop today. I think maybe Wing has put in the bottom. Why do we like Wing? Because it's one of the growth stories out there.
Well, they're buying their own stock and opening restaurants.
Yeah, right? And they're opening restaurants. That's very bullish because when you buy your own stock, that takes shares off the market. And so the earnings get divided by a lower amount of shares and the earnings go up. So that's kind of like getting an earnings upgrade here. And, of course, Wingstop has said that they want to become, they have 1,916 restaurants in 44 states and 10 countries, and they have a goal that gets to 7,000. So what can I say? It's a growth story. Okay, Petco expands delivery partnership with DoorDash. And I got to say, you know, I didn't I didn't really like DoorDash as a stock, but you know what? It continues to climb, and more people want things delivered to their house. They don't want to drive to Petco to get their dog food or the dog's dog food or their leash or their milk bones or whatever. And now DoorDash is entering into partnerships with, I mean, businesses from all walks of life. DoorDash is now a $31 billion company. $31 billion company.
Well, and that's what Walmart said in their, you know, in their earnings call was the fact that, you know, they're balancing, you know, value with convenience, right? And so they've, you know, they've really hit off on the, you know, pull up, pick up your groceries at the Walmart level, and you know, DoorDash is benefiting from that as well in terms of having stuff delivered to your doorstep.
Well, I did a valuation on DoorDash here recently. I show 95% upside. Now, they haven't turned a profit yet,
that's
okay?
That's the tricky part. Yeah.
Four straight quarters of losses, but in a row, and of course, really back to when they started back in 2017, they've never made money. This is the year they're expected to turn the corner. The last two quarters of this year are expected to be profitable for DoorDash in a pretty good way. And then next year they're looking for 50. So maybe they finally crossed the Rubicon. I know they're EBITDA profitable, but now earnings profitable. Looks like this is the year. They've been growing by about 40%. So definitely, and I, you know, if those numbers are right, if they are going to cross into profitability, I'm using next year's earnings of $2.06, I get a 95% upside potential over the next 3 to 5 years, which is very good if they can execute. So it definitely is on my watch list. Walmart. Walmart is now down 1%. It was up. Walmart, their earnings of $1.84 beat by 13 cents. And their revenue of $161 billion beat by $2.3 billion. I think everybody's really looking at their margins. I don't know what the margins came in at. You know, we knew the sales were going to grow a lot. But now it comes down to the margins. Their sales were up 8% and their earnings were up 13%. Walmart, my hat is off to them. They've become a double-digit grower once again.
Yeah, once again. I mean, you know, the other side of that argument is the fact that, you know, if Walmart's doing well, right, what does that, you know, is that good, right, for the rest of the market and consumer, right? So part of that is the fact that they're doing so well, right? I've heard, you know, folks talking in terms of, you know, may not be the best sign, right, for the, you know, retail purchaser because they're, you know, trading down from in terms of, you know, their purchasing capacity and you know, inflation, you know, catching up to pocketbooks eventually.
And it's hard to justify. I have about 40% upside potential in Walmart because it's low PE, low margin stock. I can see owning it maybe just as a safety place. It pays a dividend yield of 1.4%, but I have a hard time with the current valuation. Okay, and then Cisco reported a one-time, that was one of the great stocks of all time in the late 90s. You know, I remember the whole networking. It kind of began with a company called Novell out of Utah, which got the networking of PCs together. And then along came, you know, the big routers and whatnot.
Cisco,
and the big-time networking, and along came Cisco and changed the world, really. And they had a good report. Their earnings were up 37%. Their sales were up 16%. The stock's up $4 or 4.6%. We'll call it the stock
of
the day.
That's a big move for Cisco. I mean,
yes. But it's not moving the needle on the NASDAQ, okay?
Right.
The NASDAQ interest rates are holding back the NASDAQ. And then one other one we'll bring up here, and I've been surprised by how lousy the sector has been for lithium, the lithium miners. I look at several of them every day, and they just continue to go down and down and down and down. So obviously there's too much supply of lithium out there. So you had Sociedad Química, which we've written up in the past down in Chile.
Yeah, SQM, yeah. I'm glad you pronounce it much better than I do.
Yeah, reporting earnings. Their sales up 12%. Their earnings down 6%. So I'm going to say there's a problem with the pricing of
their tax rate's probably going up based on
Chile is basically right next to being a communist country at the current time. The
particularly
yield,
when it comes to resources, right? Like
yes, and they want to control the resources and extract heavy penalties for pulling out the, very much Venezuela like, and you saw where that led. The yield on SQM is 8.7%. So as a yield play, it looks pretty good. But I don't know.
That's
there must be a lithium index.
Well, and that's how that's actually how their government gets funding. They own a good portion of SQM, and so that dividend yield, right? That's them. They're getting some of that dividend yield as well.
Yeah. So far, I mean, the lithium play has been a big dud. I had a friend that invented the lithium ETF called LIT. It got up to $97 a share at one point. Now it's down to $58 per share. Okay, we'll be right back with what is moving and shaking in the market. It's kind of surprising to look underneath the surface and see the stuff that you'd never imagine leading the market today. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go. Do what you wanna do.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. It's all about interest rates today. And, of course, interest rates are a fluctuating item from day to day. And they just happen to be up at the highest they've been since last fall, last October, when they hit 4.30. We're at 4.32 today. And as Barry said, they're up 50 basis points here recently. What really was
a month and a half, basically, they've gone. I mean, that's the Treasury note. Right?
And remember what turned the worm was when the Treasury announced how much money they were going to have to borrow, right?
That was really kind of that point. I mean, and you had, obviously, you had the Moody's downgrade, right? And so, you have both of those kind of combination, really, to me, at least in the near term, right? The more important thing is the issuance side, because that debt's got to get floated out there, right? And so the more debt you have, some more supply you have out there, the less that price is going to be, and the higher the yield. And that's what I think we've seen, because if you look at just look at the inflation reports and job reports over the last 2-3 periods, 3 months, those numbers don't really justify, right, us being at a 4.3, 4.3 10-year yield at the moment. So there's other forces out there, right, that are kind of driving to that rate at this point.
And the market, controls interest rates. I would just guess that, we're going to back down from here, because this is the high that we hit in October. That's resistance. Which would be then be helpful to getting the tech stocks going again. Today it's all about the oil, the energy stocks. They have led the market in the second half of the year. We own several. Exxon in the Dow is up 3.2% today. Chevron is up 3% today. Chesapeake in the S&P 500, the biggest winner in the S&P is Chesapeake, up 5.8%. So the Dow is having a pretty good day in the energy stocks, which are not affected by interest rates, okay? Oil is all about supply and demand. Interest rates be damned, pretty much. Cisco's up 4.7% today. It's bucking the trend in the tech stock. The tech stocks aren't down today. They're just flat, okay, which they've been for quite some time, with just a little bit of a downwards tilt, which they've had now for maybe a month now, 3 to 4 weeks. Just look at Tesla, look at Apple's chart, look at other AMD. They've had very weak charts over the last. During this 50 basis point rise, there's nothing wrong with their earnings. You've had. You can look at the direct correlation between interest rates. When did you say they started? 6 weeks ago going up? Something like that, 50 basis points. And that has sent tech down by about 5%, okay?
Yeah, and if you look at that, and like you said, it's a lot of it is it was multiple or mostly was multiple expansion, right, in that, you know, in this time prior to in the first half of the year, and then now when you're, you know, that narrative's changed, right, since June 30th, just given where rates are, right? So P.E. ratios have contracted back in.
Yeah, and I don't see this rising interest rate being a permanent deal. It's going to end and come to an end at some time. Now, if you go out to the far end of the NASDAQ, Cathie Wood's ARK has been getting hit hard here recently. We do own, she's down about 20% during this 50 basis point rise in interest rate. We do own some SARK right now, and it's been hitting several month high. It's up again 1.2% today because she's in the highest of the high, PE ratio stocks. Okay, and so the oil stocks doing well, and the drug stocks, which are also pretty much unaffected by interest rates because they're low PE stocks to begin with. In the S&P 500, Chesapeake up 5.8, Cisco up 4.7, and then you got several oil stocks, Murphy Oil, Chevron, Conoco, all up 2 to 3%. On the downside, CVS fell out of favor with California, and in particular, Governor Newsom. I can't remember what the incident was, but he then said, you're not getting any more contracts from the state of California. And now the state of California is really turning on them, taking away their pharmacy benefit management. CVS is down 9.9% today on that news. And it's also taking down Cigna with it. It's down 7.5. Those are the two big losers today.
Wow.
And at the NASDAQ, you know, the trade that's come to an end for the last 6 weeks has been the FANG. You know, Meta has gone nowhere, just drifting lower. Netflix has been drifting lower. I got a dolphin right in front of my backyard. It's always interesting to see that fin come up. That's kind of neat to say you got a dolphin in your backyard. AMD is down 1.9%. Google is up 1.1%. Seagate's up 2.2%, and Cisco is up 4.6%. So those are the winners and the losers.
Cisco, stock of the day. Don't you,
yeah,
you
stock
don't
of the
that
day,
often,
and CVS is the dog of the day. And Chesapeake also, that's a good move. Now, that's a natural gas stock. That's a huge pop for Chesapeake. Okay, well, I begin working on the newsletter today. Believe it or not, the remodel of the Best Stocks Now app, September 15th is the target date. It looks like we're going to make it to get that thing submitted to Apple and to Android. It's beautiful so far because I'm helping them design it and everything, and it's going to be really, really, I use it every day. I could not manage. Those five-year target prices are so important, I can't tell you, especially in a market like this.
Yeah, anyway, speaking of aesthetically pleasing. Right?
Yes, and it's even going to be pretty. Some nice, soft, pleasing, a little better, cleaner layout. The app is beststocksnowapp.com, a new version coming about 4 weeks. Okay, I've been promised that it will happen. Otherwise, there's huge ramifications if it doesn't happen. All right, and I'll be working on starting the newsletter, start thinking about which way we're going to go with this week's newsletter. We're going to have the macro outlook, get 2 free weeks, GundersonCapital.com. We did do some shaving recently. and adding, lowering our exposure to some areas and increasing our exposure to others. And if you'd like to set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.